name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 14th of September 2009 and the time is 7:15 p.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
My name is Brett Jones. I am just 65 and I live in Billericay some of the time. That's my base, but I also live in France a lot of the time.
And have you travelled into London especially today for your hour on
the My partner lives in Limehouse, so I'm staying with her there. So, yes, I'm in London today, yeah.
And what's the reason for you splitting your time between the UK and France?
We're both very much involved in wine, and my partner has always loved the mountains, so we're in the Alps in France. And she bought a property there, so we spend half the time there. When I say half the time, some weeks there, some weeks it just depends. And we travel a lot as well because we're both interested in wine and wine travel. Right. I trained in Switzerland a long time ago in catering, the hotel school in Lausanne. Left there with my diploma, came back and worked in England for a few years, bought a hotel for a little while, ran a small hotel. Then I opened a wine bar in Billericay in Essex, Weber's Wine Bar. Opened that in 1976, and it was just when people started to get interested in wine. Our wines of choice, you could say, in 1976 were Beaujolais was the red, Muscadet was the white. And gradually, as the New World wine came into popularity, which was very much done in the on-trade, in interesting bars and restaurants. That's where people discovered Australian wine particularly. People became interested in those wines, so they ousted the Beaujolais and Muscadets, which have now become excellent wines again, but there was a time when they weren't so wondrous. And it's just been gone on from there, and I've become more and more interested in wine. I did the diploma of the Wine and Spirit Education Trust. I've become a member of the Association of Wine Educators. I'm a member of the Circle of Wine Writers. All really because that gives me keys to unlock doors to learn more and more about wine. I sold the wine bar in 2003, and I have a wine club where I supply a mixed case of wine to my members every 2 months, I should say. And always try and find wines that are a little bit unusual, possibly not so easily available everywhere, and obviously wines that are very good. I also do wine tastings, lectures, and I help my partner with her wine travel guide site. So there's a lot of interest. The joy of wine is like every vintage is different. Every wine, every place is different every year, and it's delightful. And I've travelled the world, been to a lot of the wine world, and it is fascinating. You meet the people, you see how they tick, and they're working. It's an agricultural product, and it's just fascinating seeing how they adapt themselves to it and learn about it. So I'm very fortunate and look forward to a lot more travelling. The catering, I was always interested in wine, but it was very much the catering, and it was just really starting the wine bar in 76. There was a little recession on at the time, and it was my bank manager, bless him, suggested to start a wine bar because wine bars were becoming, we were the second wine bar in Essex, becoming a little bit trendy, and a lot just became gin palaces, bars. But I took it seriously, and we just built up a reputation for our wine list and our food as well, because good wine needs good food. And just we won awards, and it was a delight. It was a delight. So it became interesting. And again, you know, I can sell the wine bar, move on. I'm still involved in the wine world and really enjoy it. Really enjoy it.
And do you continue to earn a living from it, or is it something that's a hobby?
I do earn a living from it through the wine club, through organising tastings, yes. So I'm still earning a living, but I'm doing it in my own time, so to speak, rather than be driven by the opening and closing hours of a business, a static business. Yeah.
And you've mentioned how it's changed over the years. Is it something that is continuously changing? Is it difficult to stay involved in it?
No, it's continuously changing. It's not difficult to stay involved. You can stay involved. There's information coming out through the press, through social media, through the internet. You can find things out. But I still think it's very important to travel, very important to meet the people, or meet the people. We're lucky in the wine trade in this country in that we have a lot of wine tastings. There was a Chilean wine tasting last week. There's an Argentinian tasting tomorrow, plus the importers hold tasting, so you can learn a lot in a day. You know, often there are the growers there, so you can meet them, they're behind their stand, you can talk about their wines, ask them questions, and you can be honest with them. If there's a wine you're not too keen on, if you can say why you're not too, they want to know, they want to learn. You know, that's what's so important. That's one of the things that keeps changing. Business and pleasure. You know, sometimes we'll go on an organized trip. I went to one in northern Spain, and it was looking at several new permitted areas where they were given a DOC, if you will, to allow them to make the rules a bit stricter because their quality was good, and we were whizzed around here and there, but it was a great opportunity. It was tiring, you know, but the hospitality is very warm, very genuine. Sometimes there might be a lot of a good lunch and a good dinner. It doesn't matter. We're learning, you know. I certainly don't suffer with that.
And a lot of people try and match their wine to their food. Do you tend to do that the other way around?
Yeah, it's a food and wine matching. Funnily enough, I do some wine tasting events which are food and wine matching, and you start off by saying there's one rule for food and wine matching, and that's there are no rules. It's how you want. If you want to have red wine with fish, have it. Don't worry. Okay, sometimes you might have a tannic red with a nice sole in a cream sauce. That wouldn't necessarily work, but you could have Pinot Noir with a rare piece of tuna. Absolutely delicious, you know. It's just try. The trouble is there is so many wines, so much information about them. A lot of people are scared. A lot of people are scared how they should react. Just go and try. I used to say to people when they came into the wine bar, just think of how much you would normally spend for a bottle of wine when you go out. If it's just you, right, look across the list, go and find another wine on the list. It could be from Greece. Have a look. If it's the same price as you're normally paying, try that. Then you can say, oh, I liked it or I don't like it. Doesn't matter. Try. Don't, you know, the advice is good. You must try for yourself. That's the only way you really learn. Use the critics to give you advice, to give you a nudge. And there are some terrific wines out there at all sorts of prices. Yeah, but it's great fun. Yeah.
And will you be bringing your experience of wine to the plinth tonight?
I will. I'm going to have a tasting of 5 wines. And this comes in with my other interest with the Prostate UK. Because I was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2005, and that was discovered because I took the PSA blood test. And one of the reasons I like to persuade people, particularly men, to be more aware of their bodies. You do need to take these tests. You just don't know you've got prostate cancer. There's no pain or anything, and suddenly it's gone somewhere else. So have the PSA test. It's not foolproof, but at least it gives you an indication. So with Prostate UK, I'm going to do the tasting. I'm going to do wines from 5 different countries, and I'll talk about the wines, talk about the producers and the countries, and then I'll also come up with rather harrowing figures about the incidence of prostate cancer in each of those countries, happening the world over. Yeah.
And do you have things from Prostate UK to help raise awareness for them tomorrow?
I've got a few leaflets out. I've done, my partner Wink has helped me do a press release. So I've had a couple of articles in local papers. I was on BBC Essex this morning, and they've asked me to go again to speak to them again tomorrow and tell me of my experiences. But it's the awareness, and I'm not doing it to raise money. I'm doing it to raise awareness of prostate cancer. But if someone wants to give, they can. I'll give the links on the site, but I'm not being sponsored to go on the plinth. You know, I'm doing that of my own free will.
And when you first found out that you had your hour, did you always want to relate it to Prostate UK or to the wine tasting? How did you come up?
I wanted to find some way of linking the two, because I think it is an important opportunity to talk about the joy, the love of my life, which is wine, and there is an art of wine. The frontispiece of my flip chart is called The Art of Wine, just to remind people, and there is an artistry in wine. But to take advantage of the public meeting place, if you will, to talk about prostate, I'd feel a bit guilty just talking about wine. I think it's an opportunity to say there is an opportunity for men there to be as fortunate as I am to be cured, touch wood, of cancer, you know. So that was the reason, yeah.
And what impact do you think going up on the plinth tonight will have, or what impact would you hope to have?
The main thing is the awareness aspect, and I know talking to friends and colleagues of mine, some younger than me, some older than me, and it is, and people I have only met for the first time, who I say I'm on the plinth, oh, well done, they say, what are you going to do? So I say a wine tasting with Prostate UK, and there was one gentleman I met on Friday who said, I did have my first blood test last week. So it's making people think a little bit, you know. And also it is the pleasure in wine. It's trying to explain that as well. It's pleasure and fear. No, it's not fear. I'm not trying to make people frightened. It's just it's their bodies. They should look after them. I shall also be preaching drink in moderation, of course. That is written on my flip charts. Yeah. The ability to be involved in a public art project. I always delight in Anthony Gormley's work, his celebration of the human form. We've seen the models, we've seen the casts. I loved when he had the casts, the models on the buildings throughout London. That's a great idea, and it's just a logical step to have the actual human beings and see how they react. Art is in the eye of the beholder. Art is all around us all the time. Enjoy it. Enjoy the wonder of art. Yeah.
Are you someone who is interested in the arts?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And what kind of things do you enjoy taking part
in? Not taking part as much, as more spectator. This is where this is fascinating, to be taking part in something. I mean, amateur dramatics at school, I couldn't remember two lines if I only had two lines. So that, I just, you know, this is why I have notes with me this time. But I enjoy art. I enjoy trying to understand, to learn more about it as well, all the time. It's fascinating being next to the National Gallery, of course. I worked at Brown's Hotel in London years and years and years ago, and I used to nip off in the afternoon and just do one gallery, just one of the rooms in the National Gallery. And just try not to do too much, because some of the art there is fantastic. And just to enjoy and just understand.
And if you do have time, or outside of your work and your travel, what are some of your really interests?
Like listening to jazz. I enjoy photography, which is quite good, because I suppose I have a pictorial memory rather than a written memory, so I take lots of photographs when we go on our wine visits, and wine bottles and plates of food and dishes and things like that. And one of the things I want to try and do on the plinth quickly is try and take a photograph or two from the plinth. Music, jazz, classical, cinema, theatre. It's you know, just having an open mind, really, and I enjoy that, you know. Sometimes be guided by the critics and sometimes say, no, I'll have a go at this. As I keep saying, critics are helpful, but you still have to make up your own mind as well.
And what are the things that are important to you in your life at the moment?
Family, grandchildren I have, my partner, very important to me. And just really trying to enjoy life as best I can. It's not always easy because we work with the internet, you're sitting in front of a computer all the time. It's trying to understand things. I'm enjoying the social media revolution, Twitter, Facebook. I'm having a lot of fun with that. And it's understanding, it's nice being on the crest of a wave. I remember being involved, I had my first Apple Mac computer and just thinking, wow, this is just something new. Sure, it's a useful tool, but it's something else which is special. And as you do here with the video from the plinth, is just fascinating, you know, fascinating.
Yeah. Have you watched much of the
project? I have watched bits and pieces live, looked dibbed through the various other people, looked at the Sky Arts little programs, although I don't subscribe to Sky, as I've watched the bits of there and just find it fascinating what people do, what people don't do. Doesn't matter. It's the joy of it all. Yeah.
Do you think that we're seeing a fair representation of the people of Britain through the project or not?
I would have thought yes. I had a look at your demographics. You show how many people apply in different parts of the country and how many people actually come from there, and you make it, sure, you don't pay for people to travel, but you give advice how people can travel down here. I think you do, you know. It's a free will exercise. If people don't want to go in the draw, they don't go in the draw. You know, and people go in, I think when I went in the ballot, I just thought, that'll be fun, I have a go. And then when you get it, ooh, and then it makes you think. It's a bit like winning the pools, not winning the pools, doing the pools or doing the lotteries. You think what you're going to do. In this case, you don't. Oh, well, I'll go in the draw. And then when it comes to it, you know, and just respect. It's just the idea is good and give it support, you know. The fact that I'm here is, I'm absolutely delighted.
And what is it about the project that first inspired you to apply?
I've watched the fourth plinth, what's happened there, been interested when it was first discussed some years ago now, there's a plinth empty in Trafalgar Square, it shouldn't be empty. And I'm charmed by the idea that there's nothing permanent there. That will probably happen at some stage, but there's nothing permanent. Because I had to lug my wines and loud hailer here, I came in a cab, and the comment of the taxi driver said, I don't mind, but I didn't like the Alison Lapper statue. And I said to him, well, at least you're talking about it. That's what art's about. It sounds very pompous, but it was, you know, at least he makes a comment, I don't like it. Well, that's good, rather than just driving by it and not noticing it. And it's fun, and particularly the way the road has been deliberately routed round, so you come right past that plinth. You've got to see it, and it's great. You know, I think that's probably coincidental, but it doesn't matter, you know. I think it's very exciting, yeah.
What does the opportunity mean to you to be one of the 2,400 people going up on the plinth?
Excitement, pride, I will endeavour to do my best to do the wine taste, to do something positive, prostate awareness. I have a lot of my circle of wine writer friends, association wine educator friends. Normally when you do a wine tasting, it's to a group of people, that's it. But to do a wine tasting in front of millions, in front of several thousand, whatever, and them not having a glass in their hand either, is going to be a tad daunting, but I'm looking forward to it. I really am. And the couple of companies, couple of wine importers, well, one wine producer have given me the wines and delighted to support, which I think is lovely. Lovely. Yeah.
And what have friends and family's reactions been to you doing this?
Wow. Oh, Dad. Good heavens. How do you do that? What are you going to do? You're not wearing yellow pants, are you? Oh, you know, but so supportive. So supportive. Two of my children are going to be here. One Monday night with young children, just can't get down here. And my son is doing a pitch for a website design. But there's family, there's friends. My partner has family coming down, and it's great. And I've been, again, incredibly lucky with this time of 8 o'clock. It's nice, you know, because it gives the opportunity for people to make a bit of an evening of it. So that's good. It's good.
Obviously you're raising awareness for Prostate UK. Other than that, who would you say that you're doing it for?
I'd like to say that I'm doing it for the wine producers, the people involved in the wine business, but particularly the wine producers. A couple of the wines are not very well known in this country. There are a couple of wines I particularly like. One is from a small producer near where we live in France, actually. He just farms 5 hectares, which is 2 acres. He grows his grapes, makes his wine organically, and it's just great, you know. The Sicardi family from Argentina, Mendoza, have 700 hectares, but the guy is Alberto Zuccardi is absolutely the hot, warm, generous, you know, and that's it. It's this lovely cross section. So I'm doing it for them with pride, you know, because it shows I have already tried the wines because I had to transfer them into plastic bottles. And the other one I've got is Ridgeview, which is grown in East Sussex. And that is what English wine is so, so good at, is making sparkling wines. They make wines, they're not cheap, but they're not expensive, but they make sparkling wines as good as many champagnes. And that's a delight to show people that. And the Queen drinks it as well. But
wonderful. Well, thank you very much. We must let you go and get ready. Before we finish, is there anything you'd like to tell us about or add that we might not have asked you?
No. I think we've done well. Thank you very much for inviting me.